Thank you so much, Vaughn, for leading us. We always love to mention that we are blessed here with people in the area of music. Brother Ken leaves, and we've got a wonderful man to fill in, and Miss Pat and Miss Sylvia and Miss Pam always do a fabulous job playing and leading. I tell you, thinking about freedom is interesting these days, and just thinking about this as he sang this song. You know, we were in the headlines this week, there was 51 men found in the back of a truck that had all suffocated in trying to get across the border to our great nation. But then you also see and hear in the headlines that there's a lead singer of Green Day that wants to renounce his American citizenship because of the overturning of Roe v. Wade a week or so ago. And so to think about this July 4th weekend and the signing of the Declaration of Independence and the great nation in which we live, it's interesting to think about that word freedom, even in thinking about the decision that was handed down and momentous over 50 years ago, where we've had and celebrate, they've had the right to abortion, and 50 years in the making, they overturned that decision, Roe v. Wade. And to think about freedom in light of that, to think about people ranting and raving for freedom of choice, and then freedom for life and right to life, and there's so much confusion in the areas of politics these days. But I'm going to talk to you this morning about let the little children come to me. And I want to tell you that I've never been one to stand behind a pulpit and talk about a lot of politics. But I want to tell you the right to life is a biblical, it's a doctrine. It's not a position of Christians. It's the position. It's always been the position of the family of faith of God. And so we're going to talk about this morning, let the little children come to me. If you would, turn with me to Mark chapter 10. And I want to begin looking at this text. And like I said, I think just being at a funeral of a little three-year-old baby last week and then looking at the decisions and the debate going on around us. I know many of you follow social media and looking at all the discussions. I had a friend this past week, and one lady was saying on Facebook, so I can buy an AK-47. I have the choice to buy an AK-47, but I'm not allowed the choice to have an abortion. And of course, my real conservative preacher friend, he says, yes, you have the choice to buy an AK-47, but you cannot shoot your baby with it. You know, and just thinking about all that's going on of the freedoms we have, but yet, you know, the scripture teaches clearly about the moral law of God written on our hearts always encompasses and provides true life. You know, Jesus said that I've come that you may have life and have it abundantly. You know, when you think about the laws given to the nation of Israel, they were to protect the people and to provide life and liberty and health and growth and structure and organization. And to think about even the laws that govern our land, they're to help us. They're a structure to govern us in that we may enjoy the freedoms that we have. And even thinking about this, the senseless 50 years that, you know, at any time in a pregnancy, a woman could abort a baby. Thankfully, finally, the Supreme Court has seen that was what I said, senseless. And I want us to look at Jesus' heart towards children this morning. I want to look at Jesus' attitude toward kids. I want to see how children provide example for me and you and you and I. And I want also to see is that the church is calling and encouragement through the looking at the heart of Jesus and through looking at the mandates of Scripture. The church should hold up our children. The church should love our children. As we just read, we have a stewardship and a mandate to train and equip our children. I'm even going to make the case to you that the way we care about our children says a lot about how we love our Savior. It says a lot about how our view of God is in our hearts and in our minds. And so if you would look with me at the text. Mark chapter 10, and this is also seen in Matthew 19 and Luke chapter 18, three of the Gospels, the synoptic Gospels, all speak to this children and Jesus' love for children and saying, let the little children come unto me, and the kingdom of God exists of such as these. And then he holds one up in his arms in one of the texts and points to them as an example of those in the kingdom. But all of this, these texts always comes right before the rich young ruler. And I think that that there's a reason why that Jesus is saying, let the little children come unto me. And these are an example for all of us. And then we see this sad, rich young ruler that has it all, but has nothing all at the same time. Mark chapter 10, verse 13. And they were bringing children to him that he might touch them. And the disciples rebuked them. But when Jesus saw it, he was indignant and said to them, let the little children come to me. Do not hinder them, for to such belongs the kingdom of God. So we see here that the children were brought to Jesus. He was laying his hands on them. He was praying for these children. The disciples would rebuke the people because Jesus was too important, right? Jesus was too busy. Unlike our day, the children of the day in Jesus' time were not seen in the same light. I'll tell you more about that in a minute. But they had nothing to offer. They were simply just, you know, they didn't really matter but to anybody but maybe to their own parents, and they didn't seem to matter a whole lot to their own parents. It was a different day in which we live. But matter of fact, the children, the Jews, the early Jews and the Christians of early times were really the first one to really love children and embrace children and to fight against abortion and infanticide. I mean, children were always just thrown out with the trash in a sense. I mean, in times of famine, in times of hardships, the Greeks and the Romans, early Romans, they didn't really seem to care a whole lot for the kids. Matter of fact, the kids weren't even included in part of the family until the father had a religious ceremony and welcomed them into the family. A lot of times they were thrown out, and sometimes people would pick them up and bring them and move them into the gladiatorial practices or prostitution rings. And so children were just outcasts. They were just nuisances a lot of times. And they were seen in that light in the culture. Matter of fact, it was you could discard your children, even infanticide, even throwing out, and you know, a lot of times you would find them laying out with the trash in the elements, as I said. And so in this day here, but in our day, I would like to make the decision that in what I see is that most of our parents want what's best for their children, right? A lot of parents want what's best for their children. I was thinking about that. And we know that God loves, many parents know that God loves their children and cares for them. Thus, many parents in some way want to bring their children to be blessed. I was thinking about the relationship of Jesus and the people wanting to bring their children to Jesus. Now, this was a day when Jesus was doing many miracles. So a lot of people were wanting to see Jesus. They were wanting to get close to Jesus. They were wanting to be touched by Jesus. They were wanting to be healed by Him. They were wanting to see miracles. And so it stands to reason that the parents would want the kids to be in Jesus' presence. They recognized the Savior as the one who loved them and cared and could do miracles and could bless And so they would bring their children. Many parents, in thinking about Jesus, many parents bring their children to church. They allow their kids to come to church. Many parents read the Bible to children, and even sometimes people that don't even understand relationships with Christ. They bring them to Teen Kid and Vacation Bible School or Sunday School, church events, worship, youth ministry. And Jesus was welcoming the little children. He welcomed all the children. He showed that He had affection. He blessed them and prayed for them. He, matter of fact, He even paid the measure. Jesus even said in Mark 9, He said, the measure of our love for Him would be measured by our love for children. Let me say that again to you, church. Our measure of our love for Christ and the Lord God would be seen and evident by our love for children. Let me read you Mark 9, 36 and 37. Mark 9, 36 and 37 says this. And he took a child and put him in the midst of them, and taking him in his arms, he said to them, whoever receives one such child in my name receives me, and whoever receives me receives not me, but him who sent me. Receives not me, but him who sent me. So we see here is Jesus brings this child and says, whoever receives a child in my name receives me and also receives my Father. So it stands to reason that the way we love and embrace children in our community, in our church, in our schools, says a lot about how we receive Christ and how we love Christ. He says he would take the children in his arms. He would honor the, as if to say, honor these little ones and you honor me. Send them away because they are weak and socially insignificant, bothersome, and you've demonstrated that you don't understand the values of the kingdom. When the governor of Michigan, and this was a quote, but when the governor of Michigan, I read this, Kevin DeYoung wrote this in a little article. He says, when the governor of Michigan says she will fight like hell to protect abortion access, she says more than she knows. The ruthless, relentless termination of human life was not heaven's idea. And we see clearly where people stand these days in regard to life and children and protecting children. Second thing I want to bring to you and mention to you is that the disciples rebuke the people and Jesus corrects his disciples. So we see in this passage that Jesus is actually, the disciples are kind of rebuking these people, these parents who are bringing children to Jesus. And then Jesus corrects his disciples. Look at verse 13 and 14 of chapter 10 there, Mark. So, and they were bringing the children, we read that, they might touch them, and Jesus, it says, and he might touch them, and the disciples rebuked them. But when Jesus saw it, he was indignant and said to them, let the little children come to me. Do not hinder them, for to such belongs the kingdom of God. You know, the disciples must have forgotten what Jesus had already showed them clearly and what Jesus had said about children. In Matthew chapter 18, we hear Jesus' words about children. And Matthew 18, verses 4 through 6, I want to read this to you. Matthew 18, verses 4 through 6, whoever humbles himself like this child is greatest in the kingdom of heaven. Remember, they were arguing over who is the greatest in the kingdom. And remember, Jesus called a child and he put him in his midst and he said, unless you turn and become like children, you will never enter the kingdom of heaven. And then it says, and then he goes on to explain that. He says, whoever humbles himself like this child is greatest in the kingdom of heaven. And then he said what I was telling you, whoever receives one such child in my name receives me. But whoever causes one of these little ones who believe in me to sin, it would be better for him to have a great millstone fastened around his neck and to be drowned in the depth of the sea. Does Jesus love little children? Does Jesus care for little children? Does Jesus want the little children to come to him? Does he protect little children? What is the attitude of our Savior toward children? Okay, I don't have to get real political with you here. If you hear the heart of Jesus toward life, toward little ones, toward children. Are they burdensome to us or are they beautiful? Kids were seen differently, as I said, in the culture than our culture. These disciples probably thought that maybe these children were a burden to Jesus. That maybe they were just going to slow his ministry down. A lot of times, sadly enough, in our churches, people see children as liabilities. We've got to be busy. We need to be focused on those who can offer us something. Those who can give their tithes, right? We talk about that. Those who can serve on committees. Those who can worship. And we seem to sometimes churches might have a tendency to look over the little ones. Maybe the disciples felt the same way. They're just a burden. They're just a liability. They leave their cans in our parking lot, right? They run our facilities down. Being a youth minister for 15 years or more, it just kind of, I've heard these things. Anybody else heard these things? Anybody else thought these things? Man, them kids running into church again. Them kids kicked over a drink again. Good grief. They got their hats on too. Lord have mercy. Maybe they know anything about respect around here. Just causing a problem. I mean, them kids, good grief. Hey, can't they go down to the Methodist church? It's sad, isn't it? We laugh. It's sad. What do they have to offer? All we do is clean up after them. I wonder what Jesus' attitude was toward the children. Well, if you listen close to me, this morning, we're going to hear what Jesus' attitude was. You know, I think the kids were very refreshing to Jesus because Jesus was surrounded by people who wanted to benefit and wanted to be around him just to get what he had to offer. Maybe in your life, maybe you have a little something, maybe you've got something, maybe the Lord's blessed you with something, and you see people come into your life and you know they're just hanging out with you because you're going to give them something or you're going to do something for them, right? You think it's probably refreshing when Jesus sees these precious little faces and he says, man, let these little ones come to me because they're not just following me because I'm going to do a miracle for them. These kids are just, they're sincerity, they don't have anything to offer, and they just are who they are and they just want to be with me. Anybody, you know, there was a little girl the other night, we were watching a movie in our midst, and I threatened all the kids. We were watching that Lion, Witch, and the Wardrobe last Sunday night. And I told all the children, I said, if you're bad and if you're talking, you're going to get to sit by me. And I was expecting them, all of them, that was going to be a good incentive to make them all not talk and behave. But one little girl on the back, she said, that would be fun. You know, it just lit my heart up, a 44-year-old man, to see a fifth grade girl to say, I would love to sit by Brother Stephen. Do you know who I sat with during that movie? I said, you know what, I'm going to go sit by you, all right? I wanted to be close to people that just sincerely want to be close to you. Anybody else like that? I mean, it's probably refreshing to Jesus to say, man, these little kids, they wanted to run to Jesus. The parents wanted to bring them to Jesus. But so many times we see our children as a burden. Jesus saw them as beautiful in his eyes. They were seen differently in the culture. You know, in the day, I was even thinking about abortion. 99% of abortions take place because of unwanted pregnancies. You know, we make the big deal about rape and incest. You know, that's a small fraction of it. But simply, children aren't allowed the right to live. Many times it's because they're a burden. They're going to affect life. They're going to change your routine, the mother and dad's routine up, you know. And you know that we're not going to have a lot of money for them, and they're going to take away from the other siblings, or we just didn't want it, or I'm trying to finish in my career. Guys, I want to tell you, these children are important. They're important inside of the womb and outside of the womb because they are children. They're not just a blob of tissue. They're not a fetus. You can't. It's kind of interesting in all this debate going on. All of the liberals, when they used to say that it used to be not people were pregnant, now most of them are saying that women are pregnant. You know, they're not referring to the fetus or a blob of tissue. They're referring to child and children. It's amazing the inconsistencies. When people talk long enough, you're going to see and understand that these kids, we know that innate in us, the Lord says that they are created in the image of God. Imago Dei. They have the fingerprint. They're fearfully and wonderfully made. They have design. They have personalities. And they're important to our Savior. So many times they're just seen as burdens. And the disciples must have thought that these little children were going to be a burden to Jesus. Well, Jesus let you know right quick, and he let the disciples know right quick. He probably kind of embarrassed the disciples a little bit. Don't you probably think, what are y'all talking about? Leave these kids alone. You know, I mean, let them come to me. These kids are important to me. Let them come. You know, if children were beautiful and important to Jesus, they should be beautiful and important to his church. They should be beautiful and important to us. As I said, how people treat our children, how we treat our children says a lot about our relationships to God. You know, I think about our team kit. I think about our vacation Bible school. I think about all of our children's ministries. And I pray and hope that at the very end of this message, I'm going to ask you. And this is not just a sermon to try to get more people involved in children's ministry. All right? We are starting to, our playground committee is getting real close to putting some pictures up here for you guys and to pitch a platform for you to invest and to support our what we feel like a need to purchase a playground. But I'm not preaching this message to try to get you and try to sway you to do certain things. I'm preaching this message because I believe this is, I'm showing you and helping you see the heart of our Savior, the heart of God. But at the very end of this, when I make application, I'm going to ask you, what does our budget look like? What does our vision look like? What do our facilities look like in how we love and nurture and protect and educate our children? So there are applications on the hill of really valuing and caring for children that should work its way through in our church. When we have a Vacation Bible School sign up, we should have people wanting to serve at Vacation Bible School. When we have a youth camp coming up, we should have people wanting to help our children hear and understand and respond to the teaching of Scripture. When we have a playground push to invest in a playground, we should have people want to have a tool out here that says we truly care for our kids and we want you to bring them. We want them to feel encouraged. We want them to be unified to our church. We want them to fellowship. We want to see moms and dads standing out here talking as their children play. We want to see healthy, good, solid Christian discussion about doctrine and theology and truth and application to that truth. We want to have with tools that says we care for children. And I believe at the end of the day, I believe you truly have a heart for kids. Now, sometimes we lose sight of that. Sometimes we don't see that. Sometimes it gets off of my agenda. It gets off of your agenda. And it's not at the forefront. But guys, I can tell you, and I hear some of y'all say this, if we don't truly care and love our children and embrace our community, our church will not exist in 10 to 15, 20 years. And you know that. You knew that as you called your last pastor when you put your committee together. You knew this as you plan activities, as you try to work and try to think about our community. Now, sometimes it's not always out when that kid leaves a can in the yard or they, you know, out here and they cause a problem. We seem to lose sight that Jesus loved the little children and so should we. That these children are our next generation and we need to be training them up. We need to be helping them. We need to be teaching them. And some of you say, well, we want their parents to come. Yes, we want their parents to come. And yes, it's their parents' responsibility. But guys, do you know that there are children that are being forgotten, that are impoverished? We got a lady here that works with PACT, works with these organizations, that she sees this. We take up food baskets. We see kids that are hungry in our schools. We see kids that come to school with dirt all over them. We see kids that come to school with matted hair, and we have to send kids home with lice all the time. We've got teenagers practically raising themselves. Kenny can tell you all about it. And the church is sitting idly by and saying, man, them kids sure are a burden to us. Man, them kids need help. Somebody help them. With this overturning of Roe v. Wade, there's going to be opportunities for us, not to even mention stewardship. There's going to be opportunities for us to adopt, to foster, to help organizations love and minister to our kids, to feed kids, to help them teach them hygiene and to help them. Man, there's just, if you don't take care of our kids and if we don't go after the kids, I'm telling you, the world will go after them. And then our application, we're going to talk about things like slave labor, prostitution, these organizations that are marketing products to really go after your kids. And let me just tell you, if you're handing your children internet all day and you're stepping away from them, the world's going to get them. The world's got them. And the world's going to further get them. And so, guys, this is not just a Jesus love the little children message. This is the church should love the little children, and we should show our love for our Savior by loving our little children. I'm a little bit political this morning, but the only reason I'm a little bit political because it's in the application of the Scriptures. Do y'all see it? Do you see it? This is a life. Jesus, I've come that you may have life and have it more abundantly. Jesus said that I love the little children. Let the little children come to me. And he says, you show your love for me and you're greatest in the kingdom. And I'm fixing to make the claim that the only way we can come to Jesus as like a little child. If you've not come to Jesus as a child, helpless and needy, nothing to offer, you've not truly come to Jesus. If you're part of God's kingdom and you really understand what it means to have a relationship with the Father through the shed blood of Jesus and faith in Him, confessing your sins, then what you've said is Jesus, I have nothing to offer but my sin, my filthy rags. As Jesus says, let the little children come unto me, and heaven is filled with people like this, what He's saying is all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God, and your righteousness is as filthy rags, and you have nothing to offer me except your helpless humility nature. Well, your filthy rags, Have you brought your filthy rags to Jesus? Have you said, Jesus, I can't do anything to earn your favor? I'm sick. I'm proud. I'm arrogant. I'm worried about me. I'm angry. I'm rude. I'm lustful. I'm a thief. I'm an adulterer. I steal. I lie. I cheat. If you've not come to Jesus with that heart and say, have mercy on me, a sinner, I need you, then you've not truly come to Jesus. And so when we talk about children, we're talking about heaven is filled with children. We're talking about heaven is filled with only those who realize they were helpless and needy, and that came to Jesus on their knees in humility and said, have mercy on me. We can all relate to children. I hope and pray that you have come to Jesus as a child, because if you haven't, you've not truly come. We can talk a lot about wealth and status and reputation and prosperity, and we can talk about many things. But in coming to Jesus, you've got to come humbly. You've got to come broken. You've got to come needy. That's why Jesus loved the children. We don't have anything to offer. The children had nothing to offer Jesus. But boy, did he sure love them and say, let them come to me. When you come to Jesus like a child, you're going to hear him say and scream, let the children come to me. Come unto me, y'all, you who labor and are heavy burdened, and I will give you rest for your souls. Take my yoke upon you, for my yoke is easy and my burden is light. What Jesus is saying, when you feel the weight of your sin, when you feel the weight of your hardships and your pride and your arrogance and your going your own direction, that's when you're truly starting to understand your need for Jesus. These children were important to Jesus because of their helpless nature. Now notice I didn't say these children were important to Jesus because they weren't little selfish devils. A lot of times when you hear these little messages, we've got several teachers in the room. And I do believe in Baptist, we do talk about the age of accountability, and we believe that, you know, little children, if they die apart from really understanding their sin and being able to hear and believe by faith, we believe that they're in the Lord's presence. And y'all just, you know, I've always wondered about that doctrine, because I know we're children of Adam, and I know that you can look at a little child and you say, man, that poor little depraved child. You know, I see kids all the time. Every time I preach, I say, I saw it again this past week. I see little kids swinging a toy. We were at the swim night the other night, and a little mom was trying to correct her child, and the little boy wasn't going to have it. And he took his little towel, and he swung his towel to his mom, and he popped it right across the face. I said, man, and I just, you know, and I see that a lot. You see it with my kids. I mean, some of y'all are like, well, he needs to get a hold of his own kids. All right? Our kids are not perfect. And I started reading a little article, and that's the thing about the internet. You got to be careful with your sources. And I started reading this article, and I got about a paragraph or two in, and this guy was writing, and he was writing about and I can go with kind of a sense of innocence of children, but he started talking about a righteousness of kids. And as soon as I saw about a righteousness of kids, I said, I want to know who this is. I scrolled down and I looked, and I saw his credentials, but I didn't need to even know his credentials. I saw when he started talking about, you know, it kind of scared me, because children aren't innocent. Don't let me sit here and act like that they're not little sinners and they're not little selfish kids and they need correction. They need direction. They need discipline. I'm not telling you, you know, so when we talk about the age of accountability, when we talk about ability to understand your sin and repent and believe by faith in the Lord Jesus. You know, when I think about, I heard a wonderful funeral by the little three-year-old that died last week, and Brother Ben Bates out at New Center did a phenomenal job. You even think about King David. He says, I cannot go to him, but he will come to me. Many of you lost children. Many of you have lost children to miscarriage, and I believe that, you know, in Christ we'll see those children again. So there is an understanding that because of the righteousness of Christ and because of the children and their lack of understanding their sin and being able to repent and believe by faith, if a child dies before that point, just in looking at Jesus' love for children and looking at at what the Scriptures teach, I believe that those children are in heaven, and I believe we'll see them again. But that's another message for another day. So my question to us as we continue to move through this text is, are they burdensome? Are they beautiful? Do we hinder kids from coming to Christ like the disciples, or do we help kids come to Christ? Are we using our resources to say, we love you, we want to shepherd you, we want to love you, we want to reach out to your parents, we want to help teach parents how to love and shepherd their children. Their parents' souls are important to us. A lot of times churches that really love children, they're going to have opportunities to shepherd and teach the parents the gospel. Now there's two different schools of thought to that, and we can err on either extreme of that, where we're just focused on the children or we're just focused on the parents. You know, a healthy church is made up of healthy families. So at the end of the day, we love children. You know, we're going to do things to shepherd kids and to love kids and to train children. But at the end of the day, it's not solely our goal. So we want to help parents who first have to have an encounter with Christ and come to know the love of the Lord Jesus. They've got to understand that they're a sinner in need of a Savior. And as we point them to Christ, then we see a healthy family, right? And so a church should be very focused on discipleship and evangelism, and it should be focused on parents. It should be focused on fathers and mothers. It should be focused on children. And ultimately, we want to see the whole family unit grow in Christ. That's the healthy model. Sometimes we do the best we can in the areas of parents or in the areas of children. And it's a lot of times with the busy moms and dads who don't know Jesus, a lot of times we'll get opportunities with their children and may not get opportunities with the parents. But we pray for parents. We pray for families. Are we belittling kids? Are we blessing kids? As a church that understands the gospel, are we taking children in our arms like Jesus and loving them and training them and teaching them? Are we, get out of here. Don't ever do that again. Man, we're tired of you. Take that hat off. Go pick up that. Get out of here. Clean up your own mess. Quit throwing all that food away that, you know, I don't know. What have you heard? I don't know. I mean, I hear it. Y'all hear it. But you see it. You think it. I'm scared to give too many. I know I'm offending some here because we've all done it. And I'm not doing it to try to step on your toes. I'm doing it to help you see the heart of Jesus in the way we love and embrace community and the way we love and embrace our kids. I'm stuttering here. That means I have a lot. I'm trying to get it as I stutter in my mind. Our church should be filled with children. You know why? Because our community's filled with children. And let me tell you what. You know why the children and the parents wanted to bring the children to Jesus? Because they knew Jesus cared for them. Do you know why a lot of churches are filled with children and a lot of them aren't? It's because the kids, you can't fool a kid. The kids know when you really care for them. Parents know when you really care for them. So when some of you look around and say, man, our church don't have a lot of kids, what is that saying about us? Because if you show you care for kids, the kids are going to flock, and the parents are going to gladly send them to us. We've got a family fun day coming up June 17th. Now, my perception and my plan is to have inflatables, to have the homemade ice cream, to have the grills, and to have this whole premises filled with families and people. Now, I'll tell you, that's a big vision. Truth of the matter is, if we don't embrace it as a church, we're going to be sitting around, and a few of us are going to be sitting around going, it's hot, eating our ice cream by ourselves and having about 4 or 5, 8 or 10 kids on the water slide. All right? Now that very well, I've been in ministry long enough to know that could be what happens. Now, what I'm hoping happens, if we embrace it and we invite our families and we invite our kids and we reach out to our neighborhoods and our communities, we start sharing it on Facebook and we say, we truly love your kids, we truly love you, we want you to come out, then what could really happen is we could really have the whole community of Fallful and the outskirts come out. Because people really still are about relationships at the end of the day. We push events and programs, but at the end of the day, people want to know they're loved and cared for, right? And so this is not just an event to say we had an event. This is an event to try to build those relationships. This is an event to try to connect with those moms and dads that send our kids to us, sends their kids to us. It's an event to start welcoming more kids in hopes to talk to their moms and dads. But at the end of the day, we want to share the good news of Jesus and that Jesus loves your children, and so do we. Bring them. Let the children come to me. Let the children come to us. What better time than in the hope that we now have that the Supreme Court in our nation recognizes life and at least shows a little bit of value towards that life, for the church to get on board and say, we also recognize life and value life because Jesus values life. Do we criticize kids or do we care for kids? At the beginning of June, I was so discouraged about seeing all the rainbows and hearing all the talk about Pride Month. I read an article this week, and some of y'all have read it. Let's call it Life Month. Let's reclaim the rainbow. Let's think about the promises of God. Let's say that now we are a nation that values and protects life, and we're going to continue to flourish. We're going to continue as a church to help these organizations, to help enlighten people. You know, you can't hide it now. You take the 4D ultrasounds and all the tests, and you see, and it's clear that we don't have any question now if that's a life or not. All right? Life month. Children have a right to life and should not be aborted. Pro-life has always been the position of the church. Here it is. I'm getting a little bit political. Why? Because it's application to the Scriptures. And I'll say this. I know we're getting... Here we go toward the end here. So as I said, Christians have always been the ones to protect kids when they were abandoned, sold, abused. We adopted, we loved, we cared for them. As I told you, unwanted children in early Greek and Roman culture were thrown out to die. As I told you, sometimes people would pick them up and they would make them. Isn't that sad that they would take the kids and they would train them to be warriors? Then they'd put them out there with all these thousands of spectators and run them through and let lions eat them. And boy, that's really valuing children, isn't it? Think about little girls that they pick up outside and they pick them up and they train them up and then they send them out to these guys and they try to collect money on the services they can render. Man, Lord help us. The Christians have always fought for life inside and outside the womb. You know, we called it this 50-year debate, legal debate over abortion has been two sides. We called it pro-choice and pro-life. And those are accurate labels. The ability to freely terminate a pregnancy and for any reason is certainly about the right to make a choice. I get that. But that invented constitutional right has been even more fundamental about the ending of life. And like I said, everyone with eyes to see and can see the hear the heartbeats and see the 4D ultrasounds, not to mention that this guy writing says the gruesome photos of preborn children being torn limb from limb has known that we are talking about life. The newborn loving baby lovingly cuddled for the first time and welcomed into the world with tears of joy is the same child who has been denied a right to live away on the other side of the birth canal. It's the Christians and the Jews that came along that normalized caring for and loving children. As I continue to tell you about the ancient culture, newborns were not considered part of the family, I told you, until the father officially acknowledged them and could receive them into the house through a religious ceremony. Greeks and Romans thought little of babies and did not hesitate to get rid of them. Like I said, it was the Jewish people who prohibited abortion and infanticide, the latter of which was not outlawed until Christianity took on a privileged place in the empire. Christians have always opposed killing children, whether infants inside the womb or outside the womb. The two were the same crime. You shall not abort a child or commit infanticide. This was commanded in the first century church manual that we know as the Didache. I don't know how to pronounce that, D-I-D-A-C-H-E, I should have. Opposition to abortion and infanticide is not one position Christians might want to consider. It's the Christian position. Jesus welcomed these children when others wanted to push them away. He said the measure of our love for Him would be measured by our love for children. The disciples might have thought children aren't helpful to Jesus' ministry because they have nothing to offer. Sometimes we think that. They're just liabilities. They just tear up the facilities. We've talked about that. They really have nothing to offer. After all, they also thought Jesus maybe should spend time with the religious elite. and those who cannot contribute instead of children, those who could contribute instead of children, and sinners and prostitutes and tax collectors. Remember, Jesus would oftentimes get considered, he would oftentimes get looked upon as, why is he hanging out with sinners? Why is he hanging out with prostitutes? Why is he hanging out with children? They have nothing to offer, and that's what I said. That's why Jesus loved them and wanted to spend time with them. Children are weak and helpless and dependent on others. And lastly, the last point I wanted to say, and I've already kind of made this point. I joke with Ken. We talk about it. I'll make these notes and I'll organize it, but I get a little ahead of myself because I sometimes want to get straight to the, I just kind of put it in the own order that I want to put it in sometimes. But the last point I wrote down is that children are an example to us. Children are an example to us. I kind of talked about that. But look it back at Mark 10, 15. Mark 10, verse 15. Truly I say to you, whoever does not receive the kingdom of God like a child shall not enter it. Whoever does not receive the kingdom of God as a child will never enter it. As I said, no one will enter into heaven who don't come to Jesus as a child in need and completely dependent on God's forgiveness and salvation with a spirit of love and humility. Have you come to Jesus as a little child, one who has a great need? If not, you've not really come to Jesus. As Jesus would write, who's the greatest in the kingdom of God? Mark 9, 34, we just looked at that. Who is the greatest in the kingdom? As they fought over that, Jesus would say that, when he would write, but they keep silent, he says the one who is the greatest is the servant. Mark 9, 34. Anyone who wishes to be first must be last of all and servant of all. And he took a child and put him in his arms in his midst, and taking him in his arms, he said, whoever receives a child in my name receives me, and whoever receives me receives not me, but him who sent me receives the Father. So heaven will be filled with children and those who love children and those who are servants of all. How is your attitude towards money and status and wealth and reputation? Is it prideful? I hope not. Throw it all out the window and run to Jesus like a little child. Remember, the rich young ruler is the example set up in opposition to the child. The rich young ruler said, I know all the commandments. I've obeyed them since I was a child. And of course he hadn't. But what happened was Jesus used this as an example. He said, well, go sell all you have and give it to the poor and come follow me. It says the rich young ruler went away sad. Why? He was worried about his pride, his wealth, his reputation, his status, not the Savior. Unless you've come to Jesus broken and needy, a sinner, then you've not truly come to Jesus. Don't be like that rich young ruler who has everything now but will enjoy hell for all eternity. How many children do we have in here? Or how many children do we have? How many people love our children in here? Hopefully all of us love children. Hopefully all, because if we don't, if you don't love children, you don't love Jesus. I mean, I think that's kind of what I see the parallel I'm seeing in Scripture. Who wants to help in our children's ministry now? Raise your hand. Just kidding. I tricked y'all, didn't I? Well, we could set a sign-up sheet and fill it up now, couldn't we? But, God, I wanted you to see that truly, 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 you ought to love kids. You ought to embrace our kids. You ought to love our community because our community is full of children. We ought to welcome our children. Now, we kind of got away from our bus ministry because it was hard. It was time-consuming. It presented liabilities. Okay, I get that. I've been a youth minister. Me and my wife still joke about me going to pick up kids in the projects, and mom and dad's bringing their children's baby seats out to the church van. I'm kind of like, if you're sending a child with us that's so little, we need a baby seat in the church van. We probably don't need to be taking them. You need to come with them. Y'all laugh, but I'm telling you, we've seen it. Kids bringing their booster seat out to the church van. But I'm telling you, we love our kids. We ought to love our kids. The parents in our community ought to know we love our kids. All right? When we have a children event, I was so encouraged. Don and Pat Nelson here. I'm going to love them right here. We had the children event, the Chronicles of Narnia last week. We watched it. We probably had 35, 40 kids. Of course, we had the youth pastor and his wife. We had the pastor and his wife. And we did have some, I see some others up there. We had someone that helped in the children's ministry. We had Lee and JD. We had Maybeck and Chad. But you know who I was most encouraged by? I'm trying to think, now that I've mentioned all the adults, I need to make sure I'm not forgetting anybody. But you know who I was most encouraged by? Is Don and Pat Nelson. I'm not going to ask them their age, but to see their white hair and their love for children and sitting in here watching a movie with the children and serving pizza and helping out in our children's ministry, it blessed this preacher's heart. All right. When we have a Bible school event, we have a children event, and I see some of you come and help with that and just to show up, it blesses my heart. Because you know what it says? It says you love your Savior. It says you love your church, and it says you love your children. And I'm telling you, they all go hand in hand. So you say, man, that preacher's stepping on my toes. I'm not trying to step on your toes. I'm trying to show you the parallel that Jesus loved kids, and so should we. All right? Jesus loved the community, the culture around Him, and so should we. Let the little children come unto me. The playground, the teen kid, the vacation Bible school, the youth camp. What does our budget say about our love for children? What about our facilities? How do we integrate our children in worship? Brother Ken, Brother Kenny, Brother Stephen, how we integrate our children in worship says a lot about our love for children. We need to have our children singing. We need to have our children involved. We need to have our children reading Scripture. It's important. In light of this Supreme Court decision, the church will have more opportunities to adopt, foster, provide for children, pregnancy resource centers, help young mothers, even those pregnant, out of wedlock. Oh, man. Did the preacher say we need to help mothers out of wedlock? Absolutely. There's life in that little lady. There's a family that needs to be loved and restored, renewed. Should we have a baby shower for a child out of wedlock? Sure, we should have a baby shower and love that child. Love that mother. Love that family. Just listen. It's Anna. Yes, we should. Slave labor, prostitution, no child support. We got families that split up. Another thing that was interesting about this, I really wanted to preach the whole passage because it starts out talking about divorce. They kind of catch Jesus in a trick. Is it right and lawful for a person to be able to divorce his wife? Now, that was a question that they knew was going to get Jesus in trouble because Moses had validated and given them the opportunity to divorce. But it was the lesser of two evils because of the way they were treating each other, the way they were living in relationship to one another. And I'm not fixed to get into all of that because I didn't have time to preach that, but I'm going to go back and preach it. But you know when they start talking about children? On the heels of talking about divorce. Children are affected by divorce and homes being torn apart. There's a father, and used to be it was the mothers that were raising the children. Now I know a lot of fathers trying to raise their children without moms. Man, the church ought to help in those situations. I know a lot of fathers that the mothers ain't paying the child support. Used to it was the fathers that didn't pay the child support. Now it's not just the fathers not paying child support, it's the mothers that don't even help out raising their children. How sad. Churches need to intervene and see how we can help in those type situations. Many kids in our community have never known unconditional love and acceptance from caring adults. Many teenagers, like I said, have left alone to raise themselves. As teenage pregnancy rises, we wonder why. In conclusion, Jesus commits children to our loving protection, and the church must be in the forefront of helping to care for children and helping parents to care for children. Some today may consider children to be liabilities, but the church recognizes that Christ is revealed to us through the child in our midst. Let's pray. Father, we thank You for Christ, His example. We thank You for Your Word that helps us know the heart of our Savior and, Father, Your heart. And God, we pray that we would fall in line under Your Lordship, under Your example. God, that we truly would be a church that says, let the little children come unto us, because we model the love of our Savior who helps and recognizes the weak and unfortunate and those that are dependent upon You, Father. We know that apart from someone sharing the good news of Jesus with these little lives, God, they're going to go their own direction. They're going to follow the ways of the world. The world's going to take them in, and they're going to go to hell one day. God, so truly, if we love You, we love You with all our heart, soul, mind, and strength. We love our neighbor as ourself, and then we love the lost, Father, and we we recognize the Great Commission is to go and to share the good news, teaching and baptizing in the name of the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit. So, Lord, help us to be about the Great Commandment and the Great Commission. Help us to do that in our community with young mothers and dads, senior adults and children alike, to care for, to build relationships, to use our resources, our facilities, to show that we care and love those who need a Savior. We thank you so much for us, for our family, for these who love you and serve you, and those who have a heartbeat for Jesus. Thank you so much. Continue to help us to follow you. We pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Would you stand as Brother Vaughn leads us in a hymn of invitation? This is a hymn of worship, a hymn of response, but also a time to just allow God to speak to you.